Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. I was so deepened in the song that I almost forgot that my time has come already. Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the privilege that we at the time of the harvest may live, and that God calls out the last ones, revealing himself to them, speaking to them, and his own hear his voice. He knows them, and they know him. They hear him when he speaks, and he listens to them when they pray. And the divine fellowship is and was established by grace. I also would like to welcome all of you, in particular our visit from Czechoslovakia. God bless you in our midst. You are of German origin, you have a Czech name, and you are children of God. This is the most important. And when I see my brother and sister from Salzburg, God bless you richly. And then, as far as I remember, after this service, we will have a baptism. Our brother has the desire and the wish to be baptized. We take everything from the hand of the Lord, always as it comes. And if one man is baptized, similar to Philip, who baptized the eunuch, then one can take a message of God home, and God can accomplish very much through him. Perhaps one can baptize 100 people, and they don't accomplish so much as one whom God can probably bless and use. Usually God can use men who are fully disappointed about themselves and who fully put their hope in the grace and in the Lord. These are the best tools in the hand of the Almighty God. As far as I know, coming Sunday, Saturday will be in Salzburg, and on coming Sunday in Zurich, and on Monday, Pentecost Monday, then in Böblingen. And I must say, we most surely, by a foreordination of God, we have heard of many that God's word touches their hearts as never before. And we notice that the sermons which we are now dealing with and which were preached after the opening of the seven seals, they speak such a clear language with us, and that God wants to work your decision in my and your heart. There's not just the opportunity to sit here and to think long time, but the decision is made under the proclamation of the Word of God. We go briefly into the sermon just now, shortly, but I want to refer to Revelation 22 and Revelation 1. It says here, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Let us stop here a bit. Did the angel come before the church, or did the angel speak with John on the Isle of Patmos? And that what he said to him was written down, and it says, send it to the seven churches. And we know the seven churches have, of course, a prophetic significance for the seven phases through which the New Testament church goes. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify, so plural, not to John, but to all believers, unto all who have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, to testify unto you these things in the churches. We know the Lord Jesus was of course shown in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks in Revelation 1. But I want to read the first part in Revelation 1. Revelation 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And this, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We see that those things which were shown to a John on the Isle of Patmos are meant for the overall church. And the same we see in this time, that what God, through the sendings of his angel to Brother Branham, is meant for the overall church. I would not marvel if it would have been the same angel who has spoken at that time and now. It's about the same thing. And we, by grace, may live in this time in which all these things are being fulfilled. What a privilege. This we already emphasized last night. In Matthew 13, it's written, the word which I mentioned last night, Matthew 13, verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should not understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And then we think on Revelation 2 and 3, where seven times it is written, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And we know precisely that the message in each case was addressed to the messenger of the church, and he then passed it on to the church. Holy men spoke in the name of the Lord, driven and led by the Holy Spirit. And we believe that Brother Branham, was joined to the number of those who spoke in the name of the Lord, and that he belongs to those who probably had the greatest vindication from God since the beginning of mankind. All prophets, however, only could do that what God has called them to do. A Noah had a commission to build the ark. This was his task. He fulfilled it, and with this he did for what God has determined him to. Abraham had that what God told him. Moses did what God commanded him. No one could select what he would do, and therefore it's not on our hearts to classify who is great or who is little, or who has done much and who has done little. We know that when Elisha had the privilege to ask what should be given to him, he asked for a double portion of the power and spirit which was on Elijah. And truly, it was given to him. You can read it. If it was counted properly, Elijah did 12 miracles, Elijah did 24 miracles. Exactly the double portion. Exactly. And it's so that God gives to the one this and to the other one that. Now, we arrived at the end of time. And yesterday we heard it. I don't know whether you could all sleep, whether the word has not touched us so much that we examine ourselves before the Lord God and ask ourselves, who are we in the eyes of God? Namely, not as I and you classify us, but as God sees us. That's how we are. The sermon which we deal with is three kinds of believers. And yesterday, we went right to the half, to page 23. And we dealt with the first two, namely, with the true believers who believe every word, who say amen to every word, whether they understand it or not, who receive it, who walk with the Lord until the end, no matter what comes or goes. The others, which we dealt with, are the unbelievers. They're very quickly finished with everything. When they hear the first thing which they don't like, that's how Brother Brent said, then they don't wait longer than 3 or 10 minutes, and then they walk out. The third group is that one which we look at today. And I don't know whether we will sit afterward or whether we will stand afterward. I don't know whether it will hit us so hard that we say, oh God, help by grace. Help so that we belong to the true believers. Because at the end, it's shown to us that after the trial of our heart, we have the opportunity to take our stand before God. God doesn't leave us in the stand in which we are, but He is ready to help you and me to take that stand which we have to take when we want to stand our ground before Him. Let us read the last part which we read yesterday, and then coming to the next part. And this message of the hour, that we are now enjoying the presence of God, the latter day, the evening time, when the lights are shining and the things are being opened up and the word vindicated and proved to be the truth, is both prophesied and comes to pass, and is proved scientifically, and everything that it is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a man walks out on that, he's an unbeliever. He's beyond hope. He's numbered by the power of Satan. So there's no hope for him. He is beyond hope. This was the finishing of the second class, namely of those who have heard, who went, who walked with him, who knew that God confirmed in every way during all the time, and then nevertheless they walked out. And we read it, they were called disciples, and they were following Jesus. So it were not outside observers, but as Brother Branham said, all three groups are in the church, not outside of the church. All three groups are within the church. And this is the thing which you have to keep in mind. I read on. Now, that is what? The one is the believer, the other, the unbeliever. Now, the third class we are speaking about are the make-believers. That's the boy, the make-believer. Now remember, in there stood all three. We find out that they do just exactly like their father Judas did. There were Peter and the rest of the apostles, believers. There were the 70 unbelievers, and there was Judas. Hang right on. He was a make-believer. What do they do? This is the kind that holds on until they can find something, a fault in it. They are looking all the time to find a loophole to see how it's done. See if it's a trick, if it's a gimmick. They are waiting to be sold out. They are looking for that. The unbeliever, he doesn't wait around. He's condemned it and walked out. The believer, no matter what happens, he believes it anyhow, for it is the word. Doesn't matter what happens. There you have your three classes. The old unbeliever will walk out at the first thing that's said he doesn't like about it. Brother, he's going to show his colors right then that he is an unbeliever. The apostles said they went out from us because they were not of us in the beginning. They started with us. Oh, you did run well. What hindered you? See it? They went out because they were not of us. When they saw the word perfectly moving on, they wanted to get some kind of gimmick they could work. But the real believers don't question anything. It is written in the word, and they believe it, and just go on. That's it. Always it's written. If it is not written, then stay away from it, no matter what happens. It's got to be written. They see that written word, and they believe it. They see God moving in his word, see the hour, the message, the time, and they walk with it, as I said this morning. Here we can stop a bit, and I hope not that somebody thinks that we arranged something here. We planned at this place to deal with all the sermons which were preached after the openings of the seals in Jeffersonville. And this sermon is now on the list, and it's dealt with, and afterward the next one. On every weekend on which I'm here, a sermon is dealt with God's help. Not I was the messenger, and nobody else. There was only one messenger whom God has sent with a message. And we have to submit under it from the first to the last. And there will be no loophole through which we can walk through to bypass the matter. God puts himself in your and my way. And he sees you and my reaction to that what he says. And according to this, he has to judge us. Then it speaks of Pilate, whose conscience was so hardened, so in his heart there was unrest. Then it says, the make-believer hangs around and acts just as pious as he can, but down in his heart, he's trying to find out how you do it. Oh, if the country isn't full of that class of hypocrites, that's a Judas. That's exactly. He hangs around, becomes part of the group. He was the treasurer. He stands around. He's always got his hand out for money. You can tell that one thing. He's always fishing for money. He got his hand out for it. And he is a make-believer. He acts like a believer, but down in his heart, he's not. You remember, he could not fool Jesus. Here even money is mentioned, that people who commit treason, it's all about money for them. He continues, after the 70 left and the believers made their stand, he turned around to the believers and said, there's still something in you. I've chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. Jesus knew from the beginning. Why? Because he was the Word. He knew the secret of the heart. How hard it was. Stop a minute. Think deep, long, straight. How hard it must have been on him, walking right there, and a man calling him brother, yet knowing all the time that he was a deceiver that was going to try to upset him and sell him for 30 pieces of silver. How hard it was to hold it in his bosom and his friend walking along there. He even said, friend, he called Judas his friend. Friend, have not I been with you all this time? Knowing in his heart and couldn't say it. He knew from the beginning who it was who would betray him. There's that make-believer that's just waiting. He will sing out there saying, oh, I believe this, and I believe that, and I believe this, but oh, you know, I heard somebody say such and such. For that he had open ears. A real believer does not hear anything but the Word. That's all. I still read, and I read on. He only watches the word. He is not looking for any loopholes. He isn't looking for any gimmicks. He believes God. And that settles it. And he just keeps going on. That's the believer. Let us stop here a bit, just briefly. The true believer doesn't hear anything else, but only the word. He pays attention to the word, and I dare to say, and I say it this morning, with it, everybody can do what he likes, all, who from the beginning experienced that God has spoken and that God has worked, and this in an unfailable way, and that his word was carried unto the ends of the earth, and they had part in it, and suddenly they decided themselves in a different way. I almost don't dare to say, but the chance for people who be there, who didn't walk with, are part until the end, this chance will be very little. All who in the meantime somehow went to the right or left, they don't walk the way unto the end. And they may hear to this one or that one. They may listen to that or that this. And by this they prove that they are make believers, because the true believers only hear the word and nothing else. These are trials, tests, which we have to stand here. And God shows us the mirror before our eyes, and he asks us, where do we stand and what decision we make? It doesn't help to say, I believe the message, but that, what is being said there, this I don't believe. You will see. Also about this, Brother Brandon will speak. He speaks about that it's not about the 90 or 98% or 99%, but about everything what God has spoken. I read on. Sometimes these make-believers are very popular with the people. That's right. Some of them are mighty men, shrewd, just like sons of Satan would be. Look how Satan came right up there and agreed with every bit of that word. He was just waiting to find that weak spot in Eve where he could show his power to beguile her, to betray her. That was Satan. And here Satan was in the form of Judas in every age. That was Satan in the first age. What was he? Agreeing with the word up. Agreeing with the word up to the just one little thing. He was just trying to find a place where he would discover a weakness. And that's exactly what the Judas does right now. He will come right along with a meeting and watch until he can find that little spot. Oh, there it is. That's it. That's the way it's done. That's just exactly right. I didn't make up these things. You can read them. It's happening as it always happened. There's nothing new under the sun. That's how Solomon writes. What has been before will be again here. And so we see that neither the divine nor the devilish nor the human changes. Everything remains as it was. Now comes a very sad part, which happened in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, right across Detroit, the United States. And I don't remember any bridge on the North American continent better than on the great lift bridge, the Windsor, at Windsor, which joins Detroit and Windsor, because I had to drive there. Listen what is written here. That was at Windsor, Ontario, and there I had come right across from the United States there, right across from Detroit to Windsor, in the big auditorium. And this man came up there with a gray suit on, and a red tie, and an intelligent-looking man, smart as a tack. He came to the platform and walked up, and I said, "Well, just leave, let me have your hand." I said, "I'm tired, I've seen so many visions, let me have your hand." And I never noticed the man. He put his hand over mine, and I said, "Sir, there's nothing wrong with you. Go on your way." He said, "Oh, there is something." I said, "Let me see again." I told him, "No, sir, there's not one sign." "No, sir, you are a healthy man." He said, "Take a look at my prayer card." I said, "I don't care what you have put on your prayer card. I don't have anything to do with the prayer card. See? I was tired. I wasn't thinking. I was worn out. But the grace of God was still there. You remembered. If he sends you, then it's his obligation to take care of you, not mine. It's he. He sent me. I just have to stand on the truth." Then it goes on. This man said, "Well," he said, "look at my prayer card." You all know how it was. The people who came to the prayer, in the prayer line, on their prayer card, the name was written and the sickness. Actually, the other evangelists wrote also the sickness there, but with Brother Branham on the name. Brother Branham, not a single time he took the prayer card to look at it. He was just a numbering to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so that the people are called one after the other, but not to see what is written there. And this man, he had TB and cancer, has written on his card. And he came to take Brother Branham to the cleaners. And because Brother Branham has seen so many visions, he was so weak, he took his hand, and you all know, to see the sickness on his hand. And the man wanted to take him to the cleaners. I read on. This man said, "There is something. Look on my prayer card." I said, "Perhaps you had such a faith that it probably has happened already." I didn't was thinking about it. I didn't pay any attention to it. Then he opened his jacket. He said to the meeting, "There you have it. What's going on here?" Looked around, he said, "There you are. See the gimmick. That's your Judas. A religious man, a preacher of a great denomination." He said, "There you are. I had so much faith now. He's got so weak and he can't read the telepathy. It doesn't come to him anymore." And there he says, It's not my faith was so great. I put that on the prayer card. And now he can't catch it. You see? That's the gimmick." I thought, what's going on here? Then the grace of God came down. You see the thing? He is a man who comes to take Brother Branham to the cleaners. He writes on his card. And then, while he's on the platform, he turns. And what was it? The devil has laid it in your heart. It's being said here. He has put something on his prayer card. And that what he has put on his prayer card, with that he later on went out and he died because of it. One can before God and the church, one cannot do what one likes. Sometime the measure is full and God does not play anymore. It goes on. See, make believers, deceivers, trying to find some fault with God and His Word. They are the Judases. They are the ones. You see how Judas came out? See how that fellow came out? That's the way the make believers appear. Make believers. Oh, highly educated. Sometimes a great showdown comes between the Word and their creed. And when it does, they sell out to their denominations, just exactly like their forerunner did, Judas. Judas sold out to his denomination. He sold Jesus, the Word, to his denomination and betrayed Jesus Christ after he claimed to be a part of it. There are things which really touch our hearts. I read on. Those who... This little guy that fills up quick and jumps up and runs out at every little phrase that he doesn't like, you pay no attention to him. He's just an unbeliever to begin with. But when you see that fellow, the make-believer, hanging on, that's the Judas. That's the one. Then it goes on. I've always said to anybody, if you see me teach or do anything that's not exactly with the Word of God, you come and tell me. Here's the thing that covers the loopholes that you are trying to find. Just put your eyes on that and you will see no loopholes, because there are no loopholes. Now remember, Judas thought he would have found one. That fellow thought he found one. Many times they think they find it, but it proves out that it's not. They are the make-believers, hypocrites. They are 95% on the Word. So was Eve. Even 99 9/10%. But it was that 1/10 that caused all the death and sorrow. Let us stop here a bit. Not only 95 or 99.9%, but this little part in our eyes, little part, which is so important and which must be paid attention to. That's what's all about. This is important. Not only to believe what we understand and grasp, but to believe every word which has come from the mouth of God with all our hearts. I want to let myself be corrected. I want to be corrected. But one thing I want to pass on to each one. The Bible says, and these are the words of our Lord Jesus, when you see a brother sin, go to him. It doesn't say go into all the world. Or we just say this now as an assumption, not as a fact. But the rules are given to us in the Word of God. One has to give to a man the opportunity to give one's opinion to the indictment. Even an Agrippa or Festus and who they were, they had so much in their head that they knew that all the accusations, firstly, they are unfounded. unless the one accused gets the opportunity to say something about it. Beloved, the unbelievers are wiser than the believers. They have still manners. They know what character assassination could mean if it would be punished. But the believers, they don't know it. Would it not be good and appropriate to come and to say, "Listen, brother, this is said. How is it with it?" At the end, it's such a composition of allegations which then are passed on as a fact. Firstly, the allegation is spoken out. Who has heard it? He makes it already half of a fact. The third one makes it a truth. And the fourth passes it on to others. And at the end, one is scolded at beyond recognition, not having done anything for it. One cannot change anything about it. How was it with our Lord? Also, he could speak about his accusations, and then he opened his mouth not. And nevertheless, he said who he is and for what he has come into this world. True believers, true elect, that's how Brother says, cannot persecute the other elect. This is impossible. The love of God was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But right, this sermon puts you and me and many others, puts the mirror of the Word of God before our eyes. Are we believers? Do we stand in for one another? Are we doing priestly service? Do we hold fast to the grace of God? Do we believe every word with all our hearts? Or do we just wait until we find that we think to have found something, and then we become traitors in the matter of God? Who are we? I'm asking myself, Lord, how do you see me? Who am I? And I know exactly that hardly a man of God walked this earth to whom the Lord could not say this or that. And he also corrected him. And I bow myself with all my heart before the presence of God. But in the same way, I say that all who have betrayed the matter of God, who drag it into the mud before unbelievers and believers, they cannot be a part of God, which they drag into the mud. This is impossible, because then we would be crazy. Then we would be against the thing for which we are standing in. And this is an impossible thing. And except we are already so crazy that we saw on the branch on which we are sitting, and this should be there. Or it was, yeah, people were sitting on the, they were sitting on the branch, and they were sawing on the branch, and they didn't know that they fall down with it. Beloved, the time in which we are living is more serious than we think. And the decisions which are now being made are made for eternity. And there is a moment where nobody can change his decision. We think maybe we can do what we like. And then at the end we say, "Dear God, here I am. Good morning. How is it?" Not with God. With God, it says, "By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be judged and condemned." Everything has to come up before God. This sermon, Three Kinds of Believers, really, it touches my heart. And I think they should all touch our hearts. It goes on here. Jesus has warned us against these last days and this kind of people, that they would be so much like the real thing that they would absolutely would deceive the very elected ones, if it were possible. Who are they? They are the Judases, the people that go so far. Look, they even cry, shout, claim to cast out devils, everything, and then turn back around and deny the word. They have a form of godliness. One can do everything. And then somehow what one doesn't like, rejecting it. And with it, one rejected him who has spoken. Beloved, God wants to have a word bride who distinguishes from every denomination believes what they like, but they don't believe the full word, and they believe according to their interpretations and explanations which were given to them by books and so forth. The bride church at the end is a word bride being led into the truth by the Spirit. She becomes a part of the bridegroom and is being penetrated by the Spirit of God, and the life of Jesus Christ is in her. What good is everything else? And I think we can check it by it. Brother Branham says in a sermon, even the church order, he says in a bit different way, but he says, if somebody rebels, if a deacon speaks to him, takes him to task, then it shows that this brother has not the right spirit. When a man is taken to task, and when I beat them with all my fists around, then something is not right. But when I listen, and when I'm ready to let me say, perhaps God wants to speak through somebody, but when he wants to speak to me, they're not around 1,000 corners, but directly with me, because the thousands, they cannot give the answer. I hope that it's not so personally now, but nevertheless I found out, even at people who operate gifts, if it's a genuine gift of the Spirit, and a man is taken to task, then the one person will say, Brother Frank, I can just tell you that the inspiration came upon me. I have spoken out what I did speak out. The other judging of the matter is not in my hand, but as it is written, those who hear it, among them shall be those who judge it. This is a true believing attitude. It's inspiration, and the inspiration can be wrong and right, but a true child of God remains a true child of God. Regardless of what happened, did Peter change when the Lord had to tell him, Satan, go behind me? This had nothing to do with Peter. This was the enemy which overwhelmed him, and Peter was not insulted. He was just submitting to it. He said, Satan overcame me, and the matter was finished. But when somebody starts to justify himself, and the thing goes beyond any border, and one listens, and don't stop and stop and stop, then no, not like this. If I preach something, or Brother Branham, or somebody, then everyone has the right to judge the thing. Important is only that we not judge it according to our measurements, but according to the word of God, judging it and recognizing it. He who is of God lets himself be corrected. We read it yesterday. The love lets be corrected, and the love is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It goes on here. Now you say, Jesus said that they were so close together. The elect are those whose names were written into the book of life from the foundation of the world, and they believe all the word of life. That's the elected group. And we want to belong to the elect, all of the word of God, believing it, because his word is spirit and life. And man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. And I think right in this time, in which the seals were opened, in which the mysteries were revealed, many things go beyond knowledge which was in the churches all over. Knowledge and revelation of the word are two totally different things. Brother Branham was not a man who had a higher or teaching higher knowledge than the thing knowledge which existed already, but he received revelations from God, passing it on to God's people, and all who are of God, they will hear it. Most sure, certainly. Sometimes we said it in those days. All had the Old Testament, and they could say, Moses said this, and so forth, and it went in there and there. Today we can say, oh, Paul said it this way, and Peter didn't say it otherwise. And therefore, and why was it now this way? Why? Forget your why. We are living at the end of days, and God reveals all things in summary from the beginning to the end. Nothing can be added to it anymore. And we said it many times. It's the last speaking of God. And you will say, oh, the last speaking of God was in the days of Paul. One moment, please. Paul was already with the Lord when John on the Isle of Patmos received by the angel the final things. He got it revealed. There, Paul was long time with the Lord. And didn't we see and didn't we understand that since the opening of the seals, even Brother Renner had to say, this I didn't know before. This is new for me. This God revealed to me. We just have to understand that God walks his way until the end, the last, and that all things which were hidden are now revealed. And by this, God tests the spirits. The true believers and elect will remain with the Lord until the end. They will say, where shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. And we remain with the Lord until the end. I read, remember all those listening to this tape. That's right. You are in one of those groups. That's exactly right. Now we are going to close. That's true of every person that's here present, to every person that listens to this tape. And even though someday I will have to leave this world, these tapes will still live. That's right. And you are in one of these groups. You've got to be in one of them. Exactly so. You can't escape it. You are in one of these groups. There's no well, you cannot escape. There are three groups: believer, unbeliever, and make believer. In one of these three groups, each one of us is. Each one of us, from the first to the last. And also, everyone who is not here today, in all the world, who claim to believe God's message for this time, because in those days, people were gathered around Jesus. In the days of apostles, they were gathered around the apostles. Now, everything is around the matter which God is doing in our days. And there are again these three groups. Are you a traitor? Are you somebody who was waiting until he finds something to then do something? Or are you a pardoned child of God, which permits the grace of God to every other person wishing it? Are you a man who received forgiveness? Then there's forgiveness for you and for all whom God pardoned. Or, I think the first ones went out very quickly when they heard about the seed of the serpent and so forth. There were thousands of cancellations within a couple of weeks. I can hardly remember something like this, better than this, about this, when we published and spoke about the seed of the serpent. We published and spoke about it. There were perhaps 2,000 or more who on the spot, they unsubscribed the literature. And they said, this they cannot believe. They leave Branham. Yes, he was a man of God, but this is false, and so forth. All right. They were taken out from our register. We didn't hear of them anymore, anything. After this sermon, I would say, Brother Branham would classify them as unbelievers who just believed what they liked. And I ask you today, is it written in James that the devil believes and trembles? Is it written or not in James? Only to say, I believe, this didn't help anyone. But to believe as the scripture says, this is a totally different matter. And the Lord Jesus says in the Gospel of John, in chapter 7, in the 40s verses, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, three groups are here. Believers, unbelievers, and make-believers. I tell you honestly, even I would know something about somebody, I would not say anything about it to any other man. I would do the priestly service as the old priest did in the Old Testament, under the sprinkling of the blood. I would go into the Holy of Holies, and I would remember the one and me laying it before the Lord. This the priest did already in the Old Testament. In the New, we are told in Revelation 1 that we are kings and priests of our God. What kind of priests are we? There are many kinds of priests. Don't you? One could not mention one priest here. Then it says on, identify yourself with a believer character that believed, whether you believed the word when it was vindicated. As I proved it tonight, that it was the vindicated word. Always, always, it was contrary to the popular belief. Let me now ask, if you had lived in the days of Noah, what side would you have been on? On the church side or Noah's side, the prophet? If you have lived in the days of Moses, would you have believed Moses' message after it had been proven and vindicated by God? Or would you have gone with Korah and Datan and their group and said, you are not the holy man. Other people can also do these things that you do, and so forth. You had to belong to one group, and you are tonight to one group. Somewhere we belong. There's no shaking heads, doesn't help. No speaking around helps. There's no way around it. To one group you belong and I belong. Somewhere we are placed, here, here or there. Three groups, believers, unbelievers, make believers. And I would like to suggest to everyone to read this sermon once again under prayer and taking our stand and making our final decision. I said it before. One day it will be the last decision which we made. And this will be then valid for all eternity. It goes on. Would you have been with Elijah? Would you have been with Jesus and would you hearken to the apostles? When the showdown came, or would you have walked away with the 70 and said, well, we'll go back to our church. If that's the way you're going to teach, saying that you are the Son of Man, when after all, who are you anyhow? What are you? A man such as I am. I eat with you. You are trying to say you are something. I've watched you. I've seen your weakness. I've seen you weep. I've seen you do this, that, or the other. I've seen you go into the wilderness with us and everything else like that. We can say many things. We can say, oh, I saw this, I saw that. Beloved, that's what's not important. Did we see Jesus? We cannot say, I've heard this or that. Have you heard Jesus? Hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Brothers, sisters, we're coming to the close. Just briefly, a couple of quotes. Remember, it was at all ages like this. There was always a popular belief among the people, and it's always been just a little bit contrary to the real word. Remember, it's never been just right out to deny it. Oh no, the Antichrist doesn't deny the word, certainly not. He says he believes it, but just not all of it the way it is written here. Satan spoke to Eve. Eve believed all the word, except just that little bit that he told her. They take just all of it, except just a little bit. They receive everything, just a little bit, except that might be baptism, whatever it might be. You've got to take it every bit exactly the way it is here. Just the way it's here. It might cause you to do some first works over again, but it's just what the word says. Or do you follow along just to see whether you can get a chance to say, aha, there you are, to stab somebody in the back as Judas did. I knew it would come out sooner or later. There you are. There you are. That's the make-believer. Every bit of it, we see it in the Bible. It goes on. Now, you look into this one. Look into this mirror. Which is you? Which one of these little... Who are you? One who turns away and who walks away when he finds the first flaw? That what you call a flaw. Test it with the word and see if it's right. If the word proves all things, then prove all things by the word. Also therein is a great truth in it. Very quickly, one's own judgment, one can say something. And one has not taken the word of God for a counsel and said something which does not stand before God and His word. It goes on. Now think about it. This is very deep now. Don't run over the top of it. Your present state right now proves to you what group you would have been back there. Now you are your own judge. It proves what you are. Here, we are told that there where we are now, the situation which we have now, it proves to what group we belong, whether to the true believers and elect, whether to the unbelievers, whether to the make-believers. Everyone can be his own judge after he has read this sermon. It will be not difficult to anyone to find out where he's placed by God. I say once again, not as you and I place ourselves, but as we are placed by God. That's how we are. I read quickly. Look, you are one of these groups. And your present state right now, the present state of mind that you have now, not 200 years ago, the present state of mind that you are, that you hear in this visible audience manifest, and you that will be in the invisible audience of this tape, your present state of mind after listening to this tape proves to you what group you are in. It tells you exactly where you are, whether you are a believer in the word and will stay with it, whether you would walk out or shut that tape off. That tells what you did. You didn't want to listen to it and turned it off and said, I don't want to listen to that. That's the unbelievers. You won't stop to test it and see if it's the truth or not. Or are you just hanging around and trying to find some fault with it? Then you know where you are too. It tells you, God help us to believe it and stand on it and be loyal to it and obey the word. For he is the word. You believe that? And then it says, let us pray. Also we will now pray. Let me say it once again. Here it's about three groups. Believers, unbelievers, make-believers. The believers remain from the beginning to the end. They hear, they believe, they receive. The unbelievers come, they hear something which they don't like, which they cannot bear, and they walk out. And the make-believers remain until they find a fault or something, finding something on which they can criticize, where they can become traitors and so forth. These are then the make-believers. This morning, I'm just happy about it, that I didn't preach this sermon. I'm grateful for it, that it was preached in the name of the Lord. And all who are of God, they will hear that what God has spoken. They will have the grace to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. Perhaps it will not harm you when I read you the first part of the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, how hard it is at times to say these things and know that perhaps 10,000s of people will hear this over the tape as they go out across the country and around the world. But dear Lord, it is true. It is so true. I pray, Lord, first clean my heart, O Lord. Test me. Try me. Just look down upon me, Lord. I'm weak. I'm tired. I'm worn out. My throat is dry. My lips are dry. And my body is wearing out and getting old. And it won't be too many more times. Lord, maybe not too many more turns of the sun till I'll be going. And now check me now, Father. And if there's something I'm doing wrong and don't know it, you just reveal it to me, Lord. You show me I'm ready now to make it all right. And he prays very long and very deep. And I think also we should have a time of prayer, of the common prayer, in the presence of God. Just be honest now, with a hand on your heart. Does anybody of us wants to get lost? Does anyone of brothers and sisters who cannot be here today, do they want to be placed somewhere else at the return of the Lord as not in the true church of the Lord? Then everybody shall listen to this tape beating on one's own chest, asking, Lord, to which group do I belong? How do you classify me? And you will see. God will give grace. I have the 100% conviction in the presence of God that all who are part of the bright church, they will not only read the sermons which were held after the openings of the seals, they will believe them, they will take them to heart, submitting under it, asking God that God accomplishes through his word what he wants to do. Only by this we can stand our ground. All the speaking, all the gossip of people, all the judging, all the condemnation is a tearing apart, but not a building up in the love of God upon the most holy ground. The Lord God, may he give us all grace at all places for our self-examination, agreeing with him and saying, Lord, thanks be to you that you are still speaking to us. Just be honest. Is this not a grace? We can still correct ourselves. We can still come to where God wants us to be, rejecting everything else, nothing doing anymore, not be available anymore for anything except to be available for God and to that what he's doing now. And then the Lord will bless. And he will pour out his spirit in a mighty way by grace. Blessed be his wonderful and holy name. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us pray together. Brother Rus, please come and pray with us. Faithful God, we thank you together, O Lord, for the heard word. Lord, each one of us has to examine ourselves to which group we belong. Lord, give me grace. Give us all grace, O God, that your word corrects us. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this speaking. Lord, we know you didn't make empty words. You didn't speak in vain. But we thank you, O God, that we can see us in your word. Lord, we adore you. We worship you. May you correct your people. Each one of us may look on you, on your word, which you have addressed to us today. And with your word, we don't want to judge or condemn the other one, but we want to judge ourselves. We give you the glory and the praise and the adoration and worship. Lord, who are we? We are looking up to you and we ask you, be merciful to us. Be merciful to me. Lord, help me, Lord. Help us, Lord. Praise be to your wonderful name. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us so much grace, that we can receive your word, that we can take it to heart, and that we may believe it, and that we don't walk out when you speak to us, but that we say, Lord, you mean well with us. Thanks be to you from the depth of our hearts. Lord, we worship you. Please come down in a mighty way. Give grace to all, that our hearts are open and that we are full of thanksgiving for your word and for the mighty moving of your Holy Spirit. We worship you and we glorify your wonderful name. Oh Lord, we're also coming this morning with our precious brother who wants to be baptized, Lord. We thank you that you still have people whom you are calling. Lord, we thank you that you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. We worship you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.